that you found UBN Radio and discovered our quality talk shows, it's time to spread the word to friends, family, and the universe. 24 hours of music and talk. Radio without limits. That's why people keep coming back for more. That's UBNRadio.com.
This is One-on-One with Jasper Cole, Hollywood's bad guy, and so much more. Actor, talent manager, producer, and more. Now he's sitting down with today's top newsmakers from entertainment, politics, pop culture, and beyond. This is One-on-One with Jasper Cole.
Oh, all right. Howdy, 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 and welcome. Here we are, One-on-One with Jasper Cole. It is another Wednesday, and we are coming to you live from Sunset Gower Studios right here in Hollyweird, California. Let me give a shout out to my producer extraordinaire, Mr. John Williams.
Hey, yeah,
hey
Jasper,
buddy. How are you?
I'm good. And you?
Another Wednesday, another great show.
Another hot day.
It is hot as hell outside.
Yes.
But you know, because I also live in Palm Springs,
this is nothing.
Yeah, in a way, this doesn't seem so bad, but yeah. It felt a little more humid.
Yeah, it is.
Today.
It's a little sticky today.
I went for a hike at like 11:30, and I was like, woo, it's very, very hot.
Yeah.
Anyway, welcome, everybody. I want to ask you to please follow us on Twitter at @OneOnOneJCole, Facebook, One-on-One with Jasper Cole. And if you go to my website, jaspercole.com, there is a icon for this show. Click on and keep up with us. I also want to say we are so excited because we keep getting these amazing affiliate advertisers.
We sure do.
We're actually up to a total of 21,
wow,
JW.
That's great.
Last week we mentioned canvasworld.com, mm-hmm, 3dayblinds.com, mm-hmm, 21stcenturyinsurance.com, and we're proud to welcome this week one of my favorites, Fandango.com, and I actually
did a commercial
for them.
Yeah.
Sunrise at 7, playing a cowboy.
Uh-huh.
My other favorite, QuestBars.com. I've already had two today, and I already ate them long before they were advertised.
They look delicious.
They're really good. Yeah. They only have 1 gram of sugar, by the way.
Oh, wow.
And ExtendedStayAmerica.com for all your hotel needs across America.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to read our advertisers.
Okay.
We have AdamandEveToys.com, InterServer.net, BullGuard.com, PrimeSlots.com, EUKHost.com, CheapAir.com, CoreSmart.com, AdvancedAutoParts.com, we have Flare.com, and then our more recent ones, we got Booking.com,
right,
SuzanneSummers.com, Bath and Beauty, she lives in Palm Springs also,
yeah,
ZipRecruiter.com, for all you candy lovers, RussellStoverCandies.com. Another company I did a commercial for, LibertyMutualInsurance.com.
Right.
And this, for all you people who love to cook and have kitchen needs, Sur La Table is the other one, www.surlatable. So if you go to, JW is going to give you, mm-hmm, the link to our UBN host page.
Sure.
Which is?
It is UBNRadio.com/shows. One-on-One with Jasper Cole. So that's 1-1-with-Jasper-Cole. And we're going to find a way of shortening that. But in the meantime, it's on the screen if you're watching.
And also, if you go to jaspercole.com,
yes,
and go to the One-on-One with Jasper Cole icon, there's a link to UBN.
Yeah.
And what you do is when you any of these great products that you want to purchase and use as services, click on the link, and our promo code One-on-One with Jasper Cole is already embedded. And we all get credit for it. So
yeah,
check out these great advertisers, and we're so excited to have them on board.
We are.
So I wanted to say today's just been a horrific day in the news. I know everyone probably saw this horrific shooting in Virginia.
I was watching it all.
Really? Because see, I woke up after the fact.
No.
Dennis called me or texted me to say, "Did you see?"
Mm-hmm.
But these two young reporters, Allison Parker and Adam Ward. If you don't know, they were doing a live remote on air
in Virginia.
In Virginia,
mm-hmm,
Allison was on camera interviewing I thought about this poor woman from the Chamber of Commerce. Can you imagine? She luckily survived, but
yes,
a former disgruntled employee of, mm-hmm, the station who used to be a reporter there.
Right.
He went by the name Bryce Williams. I don't even want to give him any more press, talk about it. But he stepped out from behind the Adam Ward, the camera guy, with a gun. He was also wearing a GoPro camera, apparently,
yes,
filming the whole thing,
mm-hmm,
and basically shot all of them, killed Allison and the lady from the Chamber of Commerce. And I'm sorry. killed Adam and Allison, and the lady has survived.
Yeah, she got shot in the back, and she's
and apparently she's going to be okay.
Yeah,
right. Mm-hmm. And then he took off, and started posting. He posted the video on Twitter or Facebook. And
both. Yeah,
which I think is what.
From his point of view, what was happening, from his point of view, with the GoPro.
Have you seen it?
I would not watch the video, no.
Because by now, by the time I woke up, they had pulled the stuff off.
Right.
But I guess that's how they initially got him as a suspect.
Yeah, he was not shy about posting it.
Well, and then he went on a car chase 100 miles away, and as it usually happens, he ended up shooting himself. At first, he did not die. He lived, but he has since passed.
Yes.
Thank God, fucking asshole. Mm. You know, I don't know. It's he had a history of filing these discrimination lawsuits.
Right.
He did it at another station
in
Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
And he had been dismissed 2 years ago at this station and I guess had, you know, had it out for them.
Yeah.
I don't know what. Well, actually, I heard the lawsuit was just recently dismissed.
Mm-hmm.
And so that may have been what.
Yeah, because it takes a few years sometimes.
May have been what set him off.
2 years, I think.
Yeah. So our prayers go out to the family of Allison Parker and Adam Ward. You know, she had just gotten engaged, moved in with her. And her boyfriend, fiance, is like a 6 o'clock p.m. anchor on the news. And then to me, this is the worst. Adam's fiance, who's a producer on the show, was literally in the booth.
Yes.
Watching this when it happened. I guess initially they didn't really know because they just heard like pops.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't sure what was actually happening.
Well, you really couldn't tell when you were watching the
But
live.
Then you heard, I think you could hear Allison screaming.
Yeah, and then she was screaming. And
that's she turned and tried to run and then fell, which is, God. You know, again, it's I don't, and this is one of those situations where I don't really think having the gun thing is an issue. You know, this guy was not someone that had any history of, I don't believe, of mental illness or whatever. You look at him and you think, well, he was an on-air reporter.
Yeah.
He was a reputable member of the community. I guess, as always, more stuff's going to come out. Maybe stuff he'd been posting over the last week or...
Well, it was interesting because they actually, when they fired him, they had cleared the whole area.
I heard that.
Yeah, in order for him to be dismissed.
Because he went berserk.
So they knew that he was a hot
danger.
Trigger. Yeah.
But maybe, you know, it may come out now that we're going to hear over the last 2 years there may have been harassment stuff because I think Allison only started there a year ago. I don't even think she was there when he worked there.
So right.
But he was claiming she made racist statements or whatever.
Yeah, he posted that on his Twitter. Yeah.
And I guess his life was kind of spiraling out of control. Mm-hmm. So this was, it's just tragic. You know, just, I say this all the time. You don't know who's just 1 inch away from pulling the trigger.
Right.
That's why we have to be so careful with road rage and cutting people off in traffic. This interesting thing happened to me today. I was going to the grocery store and I was in the right lane, which you could turn or go straight across the street.
Mm-hmm.
And I chose to go straight across. And all of a sudden this van was just blowing the horn, trying to run me off from the left-hand lane. And it was this crazed looking older guy. It was a beat up van.
Mm-hmm.
And we both pulled into the Gelson's parking lot. And there was a part of Jasper that wanted to go beat his ass and be like, what the fuck is your problem?
Yeah.
But you know what? It's interesting. I didn't.
Yeah.
And I waited to see who got out. And this, maybe in his 70s, guy gets out, kind of eccentric, I could tell.
Mm-hmm.
And he walks in the store before me. And it's funny how sometimes things we do things we're not even sure how it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
So as I was going to approach him, and instead of saying, fuck you, what's your problem?
Mm-hmm.
I said, oh, sir, I wanted to tell you I'm really sorry about what happened back there. I said, you were blowing the horn, so I clearly had upset you. And you should have seen this guy. He was like, oh, my God. He shook my hand. He goes, I just want to thank you for saying that.
Wow, so you defused the situation.
I defused it. Yeah. I didn't apologize for the fact that he was cutting me off.
That was an excellent way of handling it.
That was my spiritual moment
for
the day.
There you go.
I turned a frown, took a frown and turned it
upside down.
Is that what they say? But no, I just thought there's an interesting thing because I'm learning.
Because he was probably ready to be on the defensive.
Well, you know, and I say this to people all the time.
Yeah.
Profiling, which I don't like to do, but if you just looked at this guy, you would think, oh, he's harmless. We'll cuss each other, you know, curse each other out, and that'll be it. But these days, you don't know who's packing.
You don't.
You know,
it's
not always that hot shot, you know, big young guy that's in the car. These little elderly women will pull out a gun and kill you. So
a lot of short fuses right now.
Yeah, yeah, so be careful out there. And the heat, I don't know, I think the heat causes people to go crazy in a weird kind of way.
Yeah,
but
I agree with you.
I want to get to our
guest. And this big full moon that's coming up.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, don't tell me that. Yeah. That's going to be more crazy.
Supermoon.
I'm so excited for our guest today. We have the amazing Charlotte Kemp.
Yes.
She was a playmate in 1982, a Playboy bunny. Mm-hmm. Stunning. But I did just meet her, and I think she's actually prettier now.
Wow.
It's amazing, right?
Yes.
She's got a new book called Centerfold Memories, and you can go to centerfoldmemories.com to see all about the book and how to get it. We're going to talk to her about that. And I want to hear about her whole journey, and she's very proud of Playboy, as she should be, and she's written this great book about it, and she's had an amazing life, and I want to get into her journey and what led her to Playboy and all the wonderful things that happened there. And then on the second half interview, unfortunately, it's sad, but she's also one of the Bill Cosby, I say victims, because clearly he's guilty. Yeah. I'm tired of these people saying,
alleged.
You know, yeah, I don't even say alleged. Mm-hmm. He's guilty. And the thing that pisses me off is he just, people say alleged because he's not going to have to ever go to court, seemingly. Because statute of limitations have run out. And, you know, I've been on this Bill Cosby thing from the beginning. And I actually had someone on Facebook yesterday post something, because I posted that Charlotte was coming on the show. And someone said, oh, for God's sake, Jasper, can we just let this go? I mean, you know, why didn't they come forward earlier? I thought you weren't you were not as shallow as that. The person that I used to know. And I wrote back and I said, really? You think I'm being shallow because we want to put light on this criminal who drugged women and raped them? And it's just fascinating, the division, but the division is very lopsided. I think 90% of people know that Bill Cosby's guilty. So we're looking forward to hearing Charlotte's take on that and to hear her story. So I think we'll take our first break. Mm-hmm. And when we come back, we're going to be joined by the beautiful Charlotte Kemp. And you are listening and watching One-on-One with Jasper Cole. We'll be right back.
Once upon a time, there was a little black girl in the Brewster Projects of Detroit, Michigan. At 15, she was spotted by an Ebony Fashion Fair talent scout, and her modeling career took off.
You better work. thing to say. You better work.
In the future, talk radio will actually educate, inspire, and make you think. The future is now. Topics and music that affect your life. From Universal Broadcasting Network. Tune in at UBNRadio.com.
You're back, one-on-one with Jasper.
Ooh, all right. Welcome back. Here we are. It is another show. It's Wednesday. Welcome to One-on-One with Jasper Cole. And I'm so honored to welcome our very special guest, the very beautiful Charlotte Kemp. Hi, my dear. Welcome. And also producer extraordinaire, Dominic Friesen.
Hello.
Hey, Dominic. Well, we're so honored to have you here.
I know. Thank you. I'm very happy to be here.
You've come in from Texas. You're a Texas girl.
No.
Well, you live
there
now.
Only for 6 years, or 7 years I lived there. But
right.
Before I lived here for 17 years.
Yeah. Do you miss it at all?
Yes.
Do you really?
Are you kidding me?
See, that's interesting.
Have you been to Texas?
Well, I have. But yeah. I mean, Houston's a nice city, don't you think? Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's different than L.A., though.
It's totally different.
Totally different.
I mean, everything about Texas is totally different from California.
Right, right.
You know, I used to love going to the beach, either Ojai or, you know, everything
Santa
else.
Yeah.
You go to Galveston?
I've been there, yes. The houses are all on those stilts.
Yeah, and it's brown water.
Yeah.
And it's gross.
It's gross.
Yeah.
Shout out to Texas.
Sorry.
To Houston.
Sorry.
I love it. So... I'm fascinated by your whole story, clearly. I want everyone to go and buy her new book, Centerfold. And JW, you have it up on. Yeah. And you go to centerfoldmemories.com and get more information and find out how to get it. So this book basically is sort of your journey into how you got to Playboy and your experiences after you got there. Or is it an homage?
Actually. Yes, it is an homage. I started about 20 years ago, and Playboy, I had been the first Playmate they ever gave a license to, the Playboy running team. And then I thought, you know what? I know so many women, and we have our own stories.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they're cool stories. I mean, read the book, you know? It's like, whoa. And Playboy never puts out that stories because it's like, stays in Vegas or whatever
what
in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Stays
yeah.
In play, at the,
well,
at
that's
the
what they do to the mansion too. So at the one time, not a lot of women would give me 20 years ago. Heff was really still big in publishing,
right,
et cetera.
Right.
So he kind of cock blocked me a couple times in getting my first book out. But as time went on, you know, social media, et cetera, et cetera, was you know he couldn't do it.
He couldn't do it.
So. I, you know, gathered all those stories, and, you know, five women in my book are deceased, but we have great photographer stories. There's 18 Playmates, six different photographers for Playboy, like Arnie Freitag, Ken Marcus, Mickey Lamore, Rick Moore. I mean,
really just, the top guys.
Yeah. And they have great stories. And so finally, I said, you know, this is the time. I want our voices to be heard.
Right. Now, how did you get to Playboy originally? What was that journey like? How did you end up Playmate in 1982, looking like Anne Margaret? She still looks like Anne Margaret. She's more stunning now. But
no, when I was 17, actually, in high school, they had a scouting thing. And
tatas.
Yeah,
real.
I had big tatas
and
real skinny and big tatas, and my brother almost killed the scout. He was like, "Get the hell away from her!"
Right.
I was like 70. So when I moved to Chicago, I was still going to IU, and I was doing modeling in Chicago and New York. And my roommate was Jill DeVries, and she was April 1978.
Okay.
So we got drunk.
Right, as you should.
And she said, come on, let's go over. She had set me up because David Meese was there. There was a whole production, everything there. And I went in and I was going, what's going on? She's like, oh, no, have another drink. Not another drink, you know, loosen up. So I did my test shoot the next day. they sent a limo. I mean, the next morning, this was Saturday night, next morning of Sunday, they sent a limo. I was in L.A. by 4 o'clock.
Had you ever been here? That was your first visit?
Oh, my first foray,
Did you tell your family?
No.
Where were you supposed to be going?
I went to the mansion.
I mean, what did your parents think? Where were you going?
Well, I was already 18 by that time.
Okay.
And I had, a place in Chicago, which I shared with
you were already out on your, you were modeling then and doing your thing.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So you arrive in L.A., you go to the mansion?
Yeah.
What, do you remember your first, impression of that when you walked
in? Oh, yeah. I walked into, and it's a huge foyer, and you got the steps going up that way to the offices and house bedroom and the bedrooms. And then you've got the green room, then you've got it outside and all this other stuff. You walk in, and I just went, holy shit.
Wow. You're like, I'm here.
My French. I should...
Please, you can say whatever you want on this
show. I was like,
there's no sense.
I just stood there. I mean, I'm a girl from the Midwest.
Right, right.
I am the girl next door.
Literally.
And it was just very
surreal.
Bizarre. And Lance Wenzel, who used to play for the Rams.
Okay.
You don't remember?
I don't.
Okay.
But I'm not even going to fake it.
He was married
Connie
Stevens, someone, and he got... arrested for
exposure,
mm-hmm.
indecent exposure, what, flashing, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, he was like one of my first friends there, and he was like, no.
Welcome.
I know. No, but you know what? He took, it was like, he was like a mother hen.
Mm-hmm. Took you under his wing?
Oh, yeah.
So he was a good guy.
And I didn't know any of this other stuff until later.
Right.
He just didn't want anyone to come near me.
He was protecting you.
Oh, yeah. Total
like
protection, and I still thank you, Lance. I love you.
But did you have any aspirations or ever, I guess, dream about being a playmate early on in your life?
No.
Was Playboy in your house with the father or brother or any of that stuff?
No.
It wasn't like a big part
of
it?
No, kind of Protestant Midwest family.
Right, okay.
So it wasn't underneath the
sink? If they did have
bathroom.
Them, I didn't know where they were there.
They were under the. They were hidden under the mattress, where
who
most
knows?
Of them were that we found. Yeah. So you did, okay, so when you do the test shoot, and then when you get to L.A., then you do your official shoot, right? Is that how it works?
Yeah, I went the next day. Actually, I got there Sunday. Monday, I went to Ken Marcus' studio, and I was scared. I was just like, ugh. I didn't know what to do. And so one of the funny stories about that is that my playmate, the centerfold shot, was shot in three takes.
Mm.
But during one of the takes, and it tells you in the story, I'm standing there. Remember back then we had bushes.
Right.
We did. Okay, you got hair.
This is before the Brazilian days?
Oh, yeah.
Right. No landing strips.
No landing strips.
This was all natural.
Nothing.
First, when she said bushes, I was thinking hedges. And then I realized, oh, wait, we're going there. Let's go.
And I'm from Houston, it's Bush International Airport. Do you love that?
That's
every
perfect.
Every time I tell my girlfriend that, I go, you're coming into Bush International.
Okay.
And she's a playmate, too. And she goes,
oh, wow.
It's like a fart joke.
Yeah.
So stupid, you know. So he comes over and has the makeup artist. You got to come over here. And she's trimming. I'm in my stance.
You're completely naked at this point.
No. I had a corset.
Okay.
I had a corset. And he said, you got to come over. And she had to trim my bush.
I love that.
And I'm standing there going, holy
wow. Welcome to Hollywood.
Shit. Mm-hmm. If I make one move,
wow.
My clit's gone.
Right. And if you're clitless... It's not good.
Yeah.
Right.
I'd have to move to India.
I was trying to think of the country where they do that.
Yep.
I went to public school. I can't remember.
Well, they castrate the women.
Right.
Mm. And I'm sort of going, okay, just be really still.
And yeah.
And after the hem was
after the trim. After the barber got done with you.
Hedge was trimmed.
Imagine that's her job. Like, that's some lady's job.
I'm sitting there going,
like, what do you do? I trim your bush. Is it union? Is it union?
I trim bushes.
I'm a gardener, kind of. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know Jenny McCarthy at all? Have you met Jenny?
Acquaintance.
Because she tells us, it's interesting because she talks about, she's from Chicago. Maybe it's something about...
Yeah, they're moving. They moved to LaGrange.
Maybe something about Chicago and bushes, because she had the same thing when she got to...
But she's from Canada.
I think...
She's from Southside.
Southside of Chicago. Southside. Okay, but yeah. Anyway, she told the story, a similar thing about, you know, having the bush and people freaking out about it.
And it was like, you know, I guess it was just too long. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
And I was still... Almost a virgin still.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, bushes are big. You know?
Right.
I mean, then. Well, they were, you know, literally and figuratively.
Wow. Yeah. What a welcome to the Playboy world, right?
Oh, yeah. And
so, is Hef there overseeing the entire shoot?
Yeah. No.
Oh, yeah. When did you meet Hef?
No,
I was wondering.
He never guessed. No, when I first walked in.
Into the mansion.
The foyer, and then a couple girls and butlers came in and said, oh, can we help you with the luggage and everything? And Hef came down, and he was very gracious.
Was he in a robe? In his infamous robe?
Silk robe or whatever?
He might.
That's sort of his thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's a dressing robe.
I'm sorry,
dressing robe.
Dominic, don't you wear one?
You know, paisley and all these beautiful silk satins, whatever. And he came down and said, nice to meet you, and you're gorgeous, and I loved it, and da, 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 da. And I'm like, I mean, my jaw is probably like down here.
Sexy? Was he sexy in person? There's something about him, right? There was a sort of charm and a, I mean, women were attracted to him. Bye-bye. Yeah.
No, he's like an old man to me.
But some people were, right?
I was a kid.
Some girls were, yeah.
I was a kid. Yeah. And, you know, he's like 30 years older than me.
Right.
I was a kid. I was like, yeah, well, okay, cool.
Yeah. I found him a little weird. So, yeah.
You found him sexy.
I found him a little creepy. Creepy. A little creepy. But I just figured women dropped their panties for him. But they did literally to be in the magazine. But you had a good experience with him.
Yeah, some women did. But yeah. I was just more in awe of the whole dimension and everything else.
Right.
You know?
So once once it came out, your spread, no pun intended, came out, did life change even more for you after that? Did you notice?
Actually, it changed before that.
Even before.
I was supposed to be Playmate of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
And I shot like 3 weeks. And Hef and I, we used to play backgammon and cards. And I'm from the Midwest. What do you do when it's cold? You play backgammon cards. So we had a couple of backgammon games. And he kept on cheating with the die. And it pissed me off. And I just got a little pissed off, and I just threw the backgammon board, and it cut above his eyebrow.
Whoops.
Well, that kind of ended. Plus, I wouldn't sleep with some of the top executives.
Oh, okay.
So
Hef has the final vote. He picks the Playmate of the Year? Is that how it works?
He does, with also people
executives.
That vote and everything else, but yeah, he pretty
ultimately.
Much does.
Well, his
but
daughter.
I wouldn't.
His daughter runs it now, right?
No.
Oh no, no.
No, she was forced resignation. What, 4 years ago?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Well, they gave her an ultimatum.
Oh wow.
She could resign, or
be yeah, interesting, yeah. Interesting.
She ran into the ground. So
literally. So that was your entree into Los Angeles, and you stayed. You chose to stay here.
Well, no, I went back and forth because my boyfriend played for the Bears.
Okay.
Gary Fensick.
No, I know who that is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
See? Aren't you impressed? I actually did know who that was.
Anyway, so I went back and forth, and I kept, like, have my clothing there,
right.
Have my clothing in Chicago. Because I was doing a lot, and I had become the first Miss Budweiser.
Oh, okay.
And which entailed a lot of drinking. Which
I thought you were going to say travel.
That too. No, I traveled from Canada to South Padre to
Miss Budweiser. Did you actually like the taste of Budweiser?
No.
Did
actually,
you have to really
drink
it?
Actually, what we had to do is I had. I went to a lot of distributors, like the bigger distributors
right.
mm-hmm. in the country, and do a, like, you know,
presentation
and stuff. And then I'd have to do all the South, all the spring breaks.
Mm, oh, right.
And I had to judge contests and everything else. So we started just dumping out the beer, just putting water in it.
Exactly.
Because, I mean, you know, after 10 buds, you're like,
whoa. It's the worst tasting beer, though, in my opinion.
You know, I haven't had beer.
Oh, the lime ones aren't bad now. But back then, I was like, I was drunk all the time. So we just started pouring out in one nightclub we went to in South Padre. I was there to judge a dancing concert or contest. And I had like, I probably shouldn't say this, but
it's okay.
16 shots of tequila.
Why not?
So I'm sitting on the bar. I've got leather pants on, this really cute little top. I fall backwards into a vat, all Budweiser cans. And they took a picture. And I was like sprawled out. And all these Budweisers around me, and I'm like passed out.
Wow. That's a great shot. They loved it.
I can't drink tequila. To this day, I cannot drink tequila.
After that?
It was just, yeah. No.
So it sounds like, especially with your book, there's a sort of a sisterhood with a lot of the other playmates.
Absolutely. Yeah. We are, no matter what year you come from 53 to whatever, year, you know, 90s, 2000s, we are,
so like it's kind of like a sorority in a way.
Yeah, we are sisters.
Did you know Barbie Benton?
Yes.
Yeah, at all. Because when I think back, let's say I'm 51.
She was a doll, but she was never a playmate, you know that.
Right, but she sort of became the one that I would see on television. You know, she branched over into acting and I remember always on either Fantasy Island or The Love Boat. Mm-hmm. But, you know, she kind of became, and all the different talk shows or whatever.
She's a doll.
But she wasn't a playmate.
No.
I didn't know that.
She was never a playmate.
But Charlotte, in your opinion, how close did the Girls Next Door depict the life at the mansion?
The reality show, right?
Correct.
We're going to talk, is this the Holly Madison, Kendra? Who was the other one?
You got to remember, the 60s, 70s, and 80s were like the heyday.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We all hung around. We used to go topless and, you know, just hang out at the pool and all this other stuff. Now, when he married Kimberly, mm-hmm. she cut that all off.
Oh, she did?
Yeah, that was no more.
It was family time with the kids or whatever.
Pretty much. But then after they divorced, then it was just, you know, everything changed. Mm-hmm. It was not like the Playboy of, like, the Playboy.
Right.
You know?
The fun times.
So I think that...
Well, it was a different era. It was like... Were we in the 90s then?
Totally.
Yeah. AIDS had come around.
And
right.
Well, AIDS came around 82.
Right.
But the good times still went through like 89, 90. And then he married Kimberly. And things changed. Mm-hmm. A whole different dynamic.
Right.
You know?
Right. And then they lived next door, or they had another house.
Oh,
that's after the
divorce.
The divorce. Didn't Kimberly move down the street?
Well, the mansion where they throw the parties is just all they do is rent it out.
Right.
Well, we know, not you know, a different one.
Right.
Correct.
Well, Hef never owned the mansion.
Oh.
Playboy Enterprises.
The company owned
the mansion.
Okay.
And I remember going through the years and like Picasso's were gone. There was a Renoir, which I loved.
Picasso.
There were certain things that were just like disappearing, you know.
Well, all these people came in,
not for that. Oh. They had to sell them off.
Oh, to get money to keep it going.
Yeah.
Well, wasn't
and I was going.
We're
go,
thinking that people are walking out.
I'm
with
thinking
Picasso.
Of people coming for a party.
No.
But wasn't the daughter sort of credited at one time with sort of saving the company and it's interesting that she later ran it in the ground, but at one time. They brought her in to sort of.
I think they wanted her to.
Right.
I think that was their intention. Want and actual perception.
Carry on the family legacy.
Exactly. Exactly.
But right. I think that was a perception.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Interesting.
So. But as a female running.
Yeah.
You know, male entertainment company. It's a little.
Isn't Larry Flint doing the same? Doesn't Larry Flint's daughter now run his company?
I mean, it's just an odd to me. You know what I'm saying? Like. Not that female couldn't run.
Well, because he's the figurehead,
right?
For one thing, for years, you know, decades, and then have his daughter come in. Mm-hmm. And I had heard, now this is hearsay, but I had heard at one time that she basically didn't like Playmates, and that she wanted to make it into like a GQ. type of magazine.
But, you know, in her defense, imagine being a girl growing up in with that world around you. She probably learned to hate him because she wasn't getting a lot of attention from her father because he was giving it to the other
girls.
Was
she pretty? I don't remember. Was she attractive? I guess not.
You know, I'm
take a look at the picture. Clearly. I don't know. You're asking me?
Bless her heart, as we say, right? Yeah.
No, when I was honored with the Playboy running team, I had 10 girls on the team, and I had like great like leather jackets, you know, varsity jackets. They're all embroidered, beautiful, mm-hmm. and all this stuff. I sent her a whole package. So I'm thinking, you know, she's going to think it's pretty cool. This is pretty cool. She sent it back to me and said, no, thanks.
Oh, what a bitch.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I don't like her. Fuck her.
I was like, see you.
Next Tuesday.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Bye, Felicia.
But it's so interesting because, you know, Jasper, you've been to the mansion.
I've only been once.
I was very nonplussed. I've been there.
It was very dated
like
when I saw
four or five times. I thought the grotto was disgusting.
Dirty.
It was just
it's
very rundown.
And for our listening audience, this is Dominic Friesen that's speaking on the air right now.
When's the last time you've been to the mansion? Has it been a long time?
It has been a long
time. Did you find it had gone down even then? Like,
well, you know, the thing is, like, when Carrie Lee was his girlfriend, she had a lot of things updated and everything else. But the grotto's always been the grotto.
Right.
It's, you know, the blue and red room. It's always been the blue
legendary.
And red room. Those are the sex rooms. And then you have, you know, and it you know, certain things were updated.
Right.
But, you know, it was kind of like, it was the mystique
of
the
you
old
kinda,
Playboy
Mansion. Yeah, it's nostalgic. You kind of want to keep that feeling to it. Now, did you watch any of the reality show with Holly and Kendra when it was on E?
And what is the third one's name?
I forgot. I don't know. What, does
John
anyone remember?
J.W.?
She's probably the only sane one. But
I
know recently.
I watched it a couple times, and it just embarrassed the shit out of me.
Right.
Did you like House Bunny, though? Tell me you liked House Bunny.
And to clarify, they were never.
The movie House
None
Bunny.
Of them were ever Playmates, so let's clarify that, too, because they were just the girls next door. They were never.
They were in
pictorials. What Charlie Kemp was.
But pictorials. They were never Playmates, and, like, you know.
Or bunnies, right?
In People Magazine, which really insulted me, that, and I think it insulted a lot of bunnies. It said, former Playboy bunny. Mm-hmm. Well, Holly was never a bunny.
Right.
She was in pictorial.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people.
I would say a retraction is in order.
I don't think a lot of people understand the
well,
difference.
You know, the misnomer is that, you know, bunnies worked in the clubs.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Those were bunnies. And great as they are, and a lot of bunnies became Playmates.
Mm-hmm.
But she was never other.
Right.
So it kind of pissed people
off.
You know, and it was like.
And then to turn around.
Where do you get off saying that?
Write a book when you didn't have to do any of the other hurdles or any of the other things to get to where she got to, right?
Yeah. What's your take on the book?
We're talking about Holly Madison.
Do you have any comment on
Holly's book? I've only read excerpts, and Dominic and I were talking about this earlier, is that kind of like, you know what? She's biting the hand that fed her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
And, you
and
know,
in case you didn't tell me.
She was being evicted. And she came into the mansion and met Hef and, you know, either wild or ways in there, whatever. But he made her famous. He made her rich. Everything else. And she turns around and just, you know, I think it's because he wouldn't marry her.
Mm-hmm.
And,
or freeze her sperm.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, really. And basically, I mean, seriously, you don't turn around to somebody who made you famous
and
bite the hand. You know, it's like kicking a gift horse.
Yeah. A lot of what she said was very private and intimate, and you just don't.
Who knows what's happening between them?
But I guess she married this like billionaire, and I guess they're getting divorced. But, you know,
I think
would you do that?
Addicted to fame, also.
In my book, now, these are all our stories, and they're great stories. We don't bash Playboy, we don't bash Hef. Mm-hmm. I think these are our private stories
that no one has ever really learned prior to this.
And the thing is that a lot of the stories are not even about the mansion.
Mm-hmm.
They're not about Playboy.
It's about
our
lives. Interaction with each other.
Yeah.
That's what I loved about it. Well, Playboy's also always had a classy reputation. But I love the fact that
And it's I think this book is
very classy, and it's an homage.
I'm very proud of it.
Yeah, and it's like you said, a sorority. It's like
Charlotte. Looking back, what is like the one top thing that you really wanted people to know about you that was never told?
As the years went on, it looked like playmates were like, okay, whores, sluts, drug addicts, you know, went on and on and on.
Party
like
animals.
Anna Nicole Smith. I mean, we
oh,
saw.
God,
we
I forgot
all
about
saw
her,
that.
Yeah.
And most of us are not like that. Right. We're regular people.
Right.
You know?
Right.
We're regular. We're mothers, and we have businesses. We have, you know, everything else. But it's always been that this perception that, you know, that we're
right.
like, you know.
Loose and wild and party animals or whatever.
I mean, yeah, I'm
but
loud.
You guys actually had house rules, and it was actually a, somewhat of a strict environment.
It was like a sorority in a way.
A little bit? Or no?
No.
No.
No? Well, because, no, because that's what was, that's the public perception was that there was like a 9 o'clock.
Like there was the
curfew.
Den mother, the house mother, the bunny mother, whatever.
That was for bunnies. At the mansion,
right.
Forget it.
Right, yeah.
It was free for all.
Well, wow. I want to get over to this Bill Cosby situation.
And we're going to get to that right after we go to break real quick.
Oh, we're going to take a break?
Yes.
Oh, perfect. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk to Charlotte about her unfortunate encounter with Mr. Bill Cosby. So we'll be right back. You're listening to One on One with Jasper Cole.
You're back, one-on-one with Jasper Cole.
All right, website, welcome back. Like we're in the final
website
stretch on our show with the wonderful Charlotte Kemp. And we're joined by producer Dominic Friesen and J.W. Williams. So welcome back, Charlotte.
Thank you very much.
God, we need like 3 hours, right? This is not enough time.
I know.
Yeah.
We can go through so much.
Oh, my God. You're so great.
Well, we're going to get a second book. And then
we're going to get a second book. So again.
Both of us are Jews.
Yay. Oh, I love it. Shalom. Centerfolds or centerfoldmemories.com. Everyone can check out your great new book. So we just hinted a little bit at Bill Cosby before we went to the break. So what is your quick little synopsis of anything with Bill Cosby that you can talk about?
Well, I have my own story.
Right.
I did not put it in Centerfolds because I did not want this book to be about Bill Cosby.
Right, I agree.
These are our voices, our stories. I mean, you've got...
amazing women in here.
Amazing women, but, you know, you got Jerry Bruckheimer, you've got Michael Crichton.
Jay Sebring.
You've got Jay Sebring. And the only story in here is from Cynthia Myers,
mm-hmm.
who is Miss December 1968. And she writes basically in it that she just watched him firsthand. And all these stories are firsthand. They're not gossip
right.
or hearsay. And she writes, she just watched him give all these girls drugs all the time.
Wow. And this was back, yeah. what year? Are we probably in the 70s? Or
probably, yeah.
Yeah,
She was 1968.
At the height of his, like, yeah. I Spy fame or whatever, probably. Yeah.
Yeah, with Robert, what's his name?
Culp.
Bob Culp.
Culp, yeah. Yeah, that wasn't that Bill's, like, first big break, besides mm-hmm. being a stand-up? That was his big TV break.
I Spy.
Yeah. Well, and she has passed, right? Cynthia
yes.
has passed, so
she's
not here to say any more about it. But
no, she's not.
Yeah.
But she left her story with you.
Which is great.
Book. But she
and
did,
you honored
yes.
her by putting her in the book as well.
Well, yeah. And,
not just about him.
A lot
I
of
mean,
her stories are very cool because she talks about the night that Sharon Tate and Jay Sebring and the whole...
Charles
she was
Manson.
Actually supposed to be with Jay Sebring that night.
At El Coyote, I guess.
At no, that, up at... at Tate's. I mean,
at the mansion. I mean, at their house.
At their
La
house.
Bianca. No,
she was supposed to pick up a ring. She had left there like to. Remember, J. Sebring was like a real famous hairstylist.
Stylist, yeah.
Okay, she had left a ring at his house. She was going to go pick it up that night. Decided not to. That's the night he went to Sharon Tate's.
Wow, talk about fate, right?
Yeah, I guess you know.
Or one decision saved your life.
Pretty mm-hmm. much. And she writes about it in the book, too. And, you know, I became a Playmate very quickly. But there are a lot of other centerfolds and Playmates that did not.
Mm-hmm.
They had to wait for years mm-hmm. to go through it. And their stories and their struggles are put in this book, too.
Right.
You know? And very just interesting stories. Tom Cruise, oh, my God. Funny story. And it... He should probably thank me because now... Because
I bet he's kinda, listening.
Well, because this book, you know, basically says that he's a heterosexual.
Well, allegedly. But yeah. Who
a
has a story in here about him? You
Kim
do?
Kim Mallon.
Okay.
Kim Mallon. And he should be very proud.
He should be on. So you got to get this book, folks, because it's got all these kind of juicy stories in there. So.
And you become a crusader for women and a voice for a lot of women. As well, which I appreciated in the book.
I like right. to hear, besides the PR machinations that, you know, you both have, of course, I like to hear stories in women's own voices.
Mm-hmm.
And I respect that. I don't want to make it generic. I mean, there are a lot of grammatical and typos in here, but a lot of them I wanted to keep in the book
right.
because...
It's real.
It follows them.
Right.
I mean, it's their story.
Right.
You know, ums and ahs.
I like that because it keeps it real. It's not like, mm-hmm. you know, edited to death. And
You preserve their voice.
Right.
Which is important.
And it doesn't make it generic and, you know, and it's a great read. And people are like, I can't put this book down. They want more. So
is there
going to
be?
I'm doing a sequel.
I was going to say, there's going to be a sequel. Now, where all can people buy the book? Amazon or?
Yeah, Amazon. If you go to Amazon,
.com,
you look up Charlotte Kemp Centerfolds, mm-hmm. you buy it there. Straight to my page is http www.amzn.
Your Twitter account.
.com.
Yeah, Twitter.
Centerfolds book.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, Centerfold Memories.
Are you doing signings?
Tour
or are you going to?
Yeah.
Okay. And that's all coming up.
Yeah.
So we'll keep we'll follow. Well, you're amazing. It's gone way too fast. I can't thank you enough for coming and being on the show today.
Thank you so much. I'm so
you.
Happy to be here, and I'm honored.
Best of
to
luck
be
with
here.
This, and the sequel. You can come back maybe.
It's gonna be called Centerfolds and Bunnies.
I would love that.
And I'm getting bunny stories.
Centerfolds
too.
And bunnies, right. Yeah. All right, Dominic, thank you so much, as always. JW, thank you.
Thanks, Charlotte.
Always
and
a pleasure.
We will be back next Wednesday, same place, same time. Thanks so much. You've been listening to One-on-One with Jasper Cole. Peace out.
Thanks for checking out One-on-One with Jasper Cole. Check out past episodes and get the latest as they're released. Subscribe today on iTunes, Stitcher, and YouTube.